If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Lower.com, equal housing lender, MLS 112-4061.
It's over.
Game over, man.
It's over.
It's time for the Chicago Blackhawks post-game show.
Give me the post-game.
On the Blackhawks Radio Network, here's Charlie Remigliotis.
Welcome in to the Blackhawks post-game show. Charlie Remigliotis here at the United Center, where the Blackhawks fall to the Utah Hockey Club 5-2 on a best day ever game. Good crowd here at the United Center. The weekend crowds are always awesome, especially on the matinee games here at the United Center. But unfortunately, the Blackhawks lose for the third time to the Utah Hockey Club this season. Let's bring in Troy Murray to help us recap this game. Unfortunately, we've heard the sad music by Carrie far too much this season, Troy, and it continues.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, I thought through 40 minutes they did a lot of things well. The first period was a very even period, no goals in that one, five in the second period. I did my math and calculated that all out. So
you want me to get my phone out really quick just in case to validate, confirm?
But the three goals that were scored in the second period by Utah were just shots, not shots that were hard shots, just shots that were directed towards the net when they had shooting lanes. And they had lots of traffic in front of the net. And the one thing that I talked about as far as the keys to the game was controlling the house. And that's that area, you know, if you kind of extended an area around the blue paint out into the high slot area. With the players that Utah were getting into position, the Blackhawks defense, I think, have to be a little bit stronger in boxing out players, taking sticks away. But you couldn't fault Soderblom for what was going on in the second period. The third period, though, a little bit different, as John was just saying. There were some puck management issues in the third period that cost him the two goals. And as soon as the fourth one went in, you could kind of seem like the energy just went down a little bit. They were deflated mentally. And then they added another mistake, and Utah able to capitalize on that one as well. Just not getting pucks out of the zone and then making plays where, you know, one from Vlasic on the boards that went across and Lefshinov just wasn't ready for it. He was skating up the ice with the stick off the ice and just wasn't paying attention. And all of a sudden, it's a shot and a rebound and not much that Soderblom can do on that play. But those were mistakes that they needed to make better decisions on and execute better. Second period goals, you know, that's maybe on the defense, but certainly not on Soderblom. So through 40 minutes, I thought they were right there. One shot makes the difference, and some good things, some positive things in this game this afternoon.
Let's get to some of those positive things, because two players made their NHL debuts for the Blackhawks in this game, Sam Rinzell and Oliver Moore, after they signed their entry-level contracts with the Blackhawks yesterday morning. Both of them were noticeable, Sam Rinzell more so. You can see the raw talent that he has, and especially as a right-shot defenseman his size, very smooth skater. What did you think of both Rinzell and Moore in their debuts?
Well, let's just start with Rinzell. He played 20 minutes, had four shots on goal and two shots that were blocked. He had a couple hits and one giveaway in this game. So I thought he was the more noticeable of the two throughout the 60 minutes. And I agree with you. I mean, he looked very poised in his own end of the ice. His first passes, I didn't really see him make a big mistake in this game. Just really looked smooth in what he was doing out there on the ice. Didn't seem like he was overwhelmed by the moment at all in this game. Absorbed a big hit from a big player from Utah and Jack McBain. So, you know, he's going to have to learn that these guys are men and they're mature and they've had an opportunity to fill into their bodies a little bit more than what you would see at the college level, even though you get some pretty older players now at the collegiate level. But I thought Rinzell had a really good game, a really strong game. And no points and even in this one. And some guys, had some minus problems in this game. And then to move to Oliver Moore, I thought the first period he was flying around and looked really noticeable. The second period, I think he wasn't skating less, but it was under more control of just kind of hanging on his position, making sure. And then, you know, he didn't do anything bad. He didn't turn pucks over. He made smart decisions, you know, watching him in his own end of the ice, coming through the neutral zone, very aware of his responsibility. So that's a real good step. Not easy coming in and playing your first game and getting the ice time that they did. Moore got just over 15 minutes of ice time, was minus one, had a couple shots on goal. So a good start for those guys to their NHL career.
We were talking to Sam Renzel yesterday, and he said that the nerves going into his NHL debut, he just wanted to be confident and assertive. He looked like both of those things. Like there wasn't much timidness in his game today.
No, that's what I was saying. It didn't look like he was overwhelmed by the moment whatsoever. You know, it's an exciting opportunity for these two young men, and you know, big decision coming out of Minnesota and then coming in here. One practice, get a little bit of video stuff as far as your structure and everything that you need to have. So, you know, you're thrown right into the action right away, and I thought that, you know, they both accounted for themselves well. But, you know, Renzel, to me, is skating out there, and his size is noticeable out there. You can see that he needs to fill out a little bit, but at the same time, he's got some height in there, and when there's battles around the front of the net or whatever, you can see that he does have that size. You know, that was good.
You know, last year, I think he went into the season around 175-ish pounds. He came to development camp this past summer, and he said he was around 190. He hopes by this coming season, the start of next season, he's around 200. And then he said, hopefully after that, it'll be 200 plus. So it's like when he does fill out his frame, it feels like he could be scary good, because the skating ability isn't gonna go away by him adding pounds. It's gonna be his ability to defend that's gonna get stronger.
Yeah, like you were mentioning. And I think there's a lot of guys in that position. You know, for the Blackhawks, you know, Lefshinov's gonna have to get stronger in how he plays the game. Vlasic, you know, it took him a long time, and he still needs to be stronger and be a little bit more aggressive to his game. Crevier is another guy that needs to use his size to his advantage, but the genetics of his family, apparently his brother is a very big guy, and his father is a big man, and so he's got the size, and those guys have filled out the shoulders and stuff, and you can see that he's got really broad shoulders, and you know, when you have the frame that can handle the size, you know, that's where you get a real good combination. And like you said, Charlie, his skating ability is not going to go away. It's fluid. It's nice. He's got a great stride. There's no real hitch in his skating ability, and he is just going to get bigger and stronger. And he knows that. He is, you know, he has mentioned that he, as you said, you know, wants to get stronger and needs to get stronger and understands that, which is a really good sign for, you know, a young player to understand where he needs to improve. And this is why you want to play these games. This is why you want to be in this position to finish off the season with the Blackhawks, get some NHL experience, understand what it's like, and then come back in the summer, train hard, work hard, do whatever you need to do to put yourself in the best position, because nobody's guaranteed anything next year. You know, you're getting this opportunity, but it doesn't mean that it's going to translate into something moving forward. So you got to understand that this is a tough game, and everybody comes to training camp next year, and everybody's gunning for a spot on the team. And, you know, that includes the guys that are on the other side of the ice for you in the same position.
Renzel did take a big hit from Jack McBain at the end of the second period. Credit to Patrick Maroon. I know he got slapped with the extra 2 minute unsportsmanlike, but that was nice of him to step up and make sure that he knows the culture that they're trying to set here. And I think Renzel even skated up to Maroon afterwards and gave him a tap. So you like to see that by the big rig.
Yeah, and that's so important to have that understanding that there is guys, and everybody, it's just not Maroon, it's just not Foligno that has to do that. That has to be a team mentality, the pack mentality, that if you mess with one of us, you're going to mess with all of us. And that still is something that I think needs to be ingrained a little bit more, but it will be. But that's why it's so valuable to have a guy like Maroon on the team. And it was a good thing, like, he was on the ice. If it's not, it's not a direct response. You never know what could happen, because it was right near the end of the second period. But you look at him doing what he did there in defense of his teammate, just to make sure that everybody knows that it's not okay to deliver a big hit there against one of our young guys who's playing in his first game in the NHL. So good for Maroon doing what he has done all season long, showed that leadership and works hard. And, you know, I'm going to miss him. I really am. And I know that the guys in the room are going to miss him as well, because he's got a great attitude. He's got a great personality. And he also understands how the game needs to be played.
So it's hard to believe this, but we're down to the single digits in games left, eight of them. And as soon as the eight are finished, I think Frank Nazar is immediately going to go into his off-season mode and practice breakaways, because this poor guy has so many of them. He will capitalize on them in the future, but I'm sure this is just eating him up that he hasn't been able to finish some of these lately.
He had five shots on goal.
11 shot attempts, I think.
Yeah, five shots on goal, two were blocked, and four missed the net. I mean, you know, we had him as our guest during the second intermission, and I obviously was joking with him, but he's getting all these opportunities, and he's just not being able to finish them off, but he's getting the chances, and those chances aren't going to go away because he's got that speed, and he's just going to fly by players throughout his whole career. Once he figures out how to finish these plays off and score some of these goals, it's going to be a big bonus. And, you know, you look at it, when the game was on the line, he had those breakaway opportunities. And just, you know, that can make the difference in a game. He's a game breaker if he can finish those off. And he's, you know, I'm sure he gets frustrated, and we can kind of laugh at it a little bit. But, you know, deep down, I mean, I know there's frustration there because he wants to be a difference maker. And he's had those opportunities to be the difference maker. He just hasn't had luck with it.
Right. It is one of those things where if the chances aren't coming, you're more concerned. But because the chances are coming and he's not bearing them, you look at them, they're coming in key moments of the game, and you're like, if he converts there, it might be a different story the rest of the way.
Yeah. And you know, Patrick Sharp was always one of those guys that was very positive, even when things weren't going well. And he ended up being kind of a streaky scorer in some ways. But, you know, he when you talk to him, he said, I'm not worried. I'm getting opportunities. I'm getting chances. And that's a great, you know, attitude to have, that you're getting those opportunities. If all of a sudden you're playing and you're just not creating anything, you're not getting any chances, then that's when you get a little bit concerned about what's going on. Have I lost a step or whatever? And, you know, Patrick was one of those guys that stayed very positive, you know, through times where he wasn't scoring goals, because he knew that they were going to come. And he was right, you know. I mean, he would get those opportunities and all of a sudden they'd start going in. And I think for Nazar, he's got to have that same attitude, that, you know, understand that the positives are that he is getting those chances. And sooner or later, he's going to figure out how to finish those off. And, you know, maybe it's a little bit of luck, maybe it's whatever, but he's got good hands. We saw that on the penalty shot that he took. That's a breakaway, and, you know, a lot of pressure because everybody's watching on him. But these breakaways that he's not being able to capitalize on right now, it's got to be eating him alive.
The encouraging part about his game, too, is even when he isn't picking up points, he's still finding ways to impact the game in different ways because of his speed, whether it's on the penalty kill or whatever. And once the points do start to come, then you're going to see, wow, he's impacting the game in all facets of the game, which has got to be encouraging for Chicago, because eventually the points are going to come.
They are. I mean, I really like his game, and he's got a great attitude. He works hard. And when he's on the ice, stuff happens. And that's a good thing. And I think, you know, when you look at Oliver Moore, he's got speed. You know, the way that Donato's played, Mikheyev, you know, he's got speed. The Hawks up front have a lot of speed with Reichel as well. You know, who's actually, you know, in my mind, Reichel's played pretty well here as of late. And he's got that speed. And where does he come into the picture next year? Because, you know, every year that you don't become a solid regular in the NHL gives somebody that opportunity to come in and take over that spot. And, you know, if you're a guy like Kurashev right now, you know, you've got guys that are lighting up in the Ontario League. You've got, you know, some good young players, you know, that could come out of, you know, college as well. Ryan Green, you know, you just don't know what's going to happen. So when you have that opportunity to get your foot in the door, as I said, that's the important part, to get that opportunity. But then to make the most of it and continue to make the most of it. You can't just, as a young player, show flashes and then have some consistency, because that's what you're looking for. And then once you become a consistent NHL player, how do you elevate your game at that level? You know what I'm saying? So,
right.
You know, these young guys have a lot of growth to do, but there's just so many positive things going on right now. And I know that when you look at the end score, it's 5-2, and you're going, another one of those games. You got to look at the big picture here and be excited about what you're seeing down on the ice.
You mentioned Ryan Donato. Ho-hum. Another goal, 29 on the season, 59 points. I mean, we were joking around about it the other day. Like, is he going to get 30 this year? I mean, why stop at 30? Let's try to get 35. I mean, he's unbelievable.
Yeah, and you know what? And again, it's not there's no magic to what he's doing. He just goes hard to the net. He shoots the puck when he has the opportunity. He drives hard to the net. He's fearless in those areas. And then you have to have that kind of mentality, that fearless mentality, that I'm going to crash the front of the net. And even if it's not like it used to be, because it used to be just a vicious battle in front of the net within the rules of the way it was back then when I played the game. Now it's still the hardest place to go. And there's players in the NHL that have the willingness to go to the front of the net, and there's players that don't have the willingness. And those players sooner or later kind of get pushed out of the equation, and a guy like Donato, who has the willingness, sooner or later gets payoff for going to the front of the net. And whether it's, you know, bouncing off his skate, off the shin pad, you know, a little redirect here, but, you know, his tenacity to drive to the front of the net after Bedard had, you know, two shots on goal. Vemelka made a great save on the second one, but he was out of position. The rebound was there, and who comes flying in is Donato to bang that one in. And good for him. He's having a great season. He's got a great positive attitude. And if you're some of these younger players, you know, why is Ryan Donato having success at this level? Well, it's not hard to figure out, because of how hard he works and how much he puts into the game is what he's getting out of it.
I was telling this to Anders Sorensen yesterday after practice about when he scored the hat trick the other night. It felt like his teammates were more excited than he was for the hat trick, and I think that's a testament to how well-respected and well-liked he is inside that locker room when the guys can celebrate like that with him.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of faith in his life, and he puts a lot of that in the hands of his beliefs. And so I think that keeps him at an even keel. If things aren't good, things are still good. And if they are doing really good, well, I still have what's important in my life. So, you know, he's got his perspectives right as far as what he believes in and how he approaches the game. And I can see how he would be a guy that would, you know, deep down be really excited. But, you know, in the big scheme of life, it's just, you know, it's great at the moment, but it, you know, he's got so many other positives going on in his life that, you know, for the other guys in the room, they're like, yeah, you know, they're pumped up and good and happy for him, which is great. You know, you need that support. And you know, Ryan is there to lend support to those young players as well. So, you know, it's a nice fit. And I really hope that they work out a deal here and Ryan comes back and plays for the team for a bunch of years.
Yeah, I would still be surprised if this didn't get done. And I don't think them not having a deal done in place is a real concern. Like, I think eventually it will get done. It's just kind of one of those things that Donato's value ain't going down the more he plays.
No, and, you know, you got to figure out what you're going to do with Connor Bedard. I mean,
yeah.
You know, his last year is coming up here. He can be signed to an extension. What is that extension going to be? And I think that, you know, that's a... I wouldn't call it a distraction, but I think it's a focus of what the Blackhawks need to do moving into the offseason of you know, where their payroll is going to be. And a lot of it kind of starts around Connor Bedard. But if you look at, you know, the numbers, Donato's got better numbers this season. He's leading the team in points. You're certainly not going to give him more money than what Bedard's going to get, but you got to factor in the fact that this guy is leading the team with almost 30 goals.
Right, and the Sam Renzel, Oliver Moore, Artem Levchinov, all three of their the first year of their entry-level contracts got burned today. And so when you're thinking about the longer-term financial picture, if Donato signs for more than a two-year deal, that's also going to dip into the second contracts of Rinzel, Moore, and Lefshinov. So Kyle wants to be calculated in how he uses that money while not, you know, he wants to give Donato his market value as well. So it's kind of like a puzzle piece that Kyle has to be more cognizant of moving forward that he didn't really have to be over the last couple of years because money has not been an issue about getting to the ceiling.
Yeah, and you know, it is going to be interesting to see because they've got a lot of these young players that are going to be coming up for renewals kind of around the same time. And where do you factor them in? How much money do you want to do? And they've been in a position because they've had a younger roster that they haven't been strapped as far as getting near the salary cap, the ceiling of it. It's been getting to the floor. Well, all of a sudden, you're going to have to start paying some of these younger players going into their next contracts. And, you know, that's going to put you above the floor. And then you got to factor in, okay, well, when this team is ready to add those pieces of the puzzle that will make a huge difference, going out and getting the big free agent, you know, they need to have that salary cap room. So you got to be really careful how you manage this moving forward. And Chris O'Hearn was brought in, and that's one of his specialties as far as what he does. And they're going to, you know, rely on him. But they're very well aware of what's going to happen next year, the following year, 3 years down the road, 5 years down the road. They're projecting everything as far as what they need to do financially to keep this team viable. And once it, you know, gets into the position where it's competitive again, make sure that it stays that way for a long time.
Any other takeaways in this game? Hawks dodged a real bullet with the Alex Vlasic. That looked like a scary injury.
There was no other takeaways in this game because we're just getting the final sheet, but look how many takeaways the Blackhawks had in this game.
Well, zero. Did you see how many giveaways?
Yeah, don't even get me started.
Yeah, but I don't know how accurate.
That's what I'm saying.
Zero
takeaways and 23 giveaways in this game. And enough said.
All right. We got some it looks like we got some audio rolling in from
yeah, good.
Sam
time,
Rinzel.
Time to shut me off.
Time to cut Troy's mic. That's enough of him.
Yep.
All right. The Blackhawks fall to the Utah Hockey Club 5-2 here at the United Center. We'll have more on the Blackhawks postgame show after this on 720 WGN.
And the Hawks will clear their end. Foligno with Foligno through center ice. Foligno over the Utah line, right wing, gave it to Lefshinov in front. Foligno, should he score? What a sweet play that was! Lefshinov shot the puck through the legs of one of the Utah players. Foligno sets up Foligno with a deke and a shot, beats Fomelka. And the Hawks have tied it at one.
Back here on the Blackhawks postgame show, the Hawks fall to the Utah Hockey Club 5-2. That was the second goal in four games for Joe Foligno. And also, he's got a point in three of his last four and 4 points over those four games. He had 2 points against the Philadelphia Flyers with a goal and an assist. He had an assist against the Vegas game and a goal against the Utah Hockey Club in this one. Joe Foligno, his second in a Blackhawks sweater, seventh of the season. It was Artem Lefshinov with the primary assist, his fifth assist of the season in 10 games. Still searching for that first goal. He's gotten close a few times, but I don't have a doubt that it's probably coming soon if he continues that mentality, because he sure does have a shooting-type mentality. Lefshinov had 5 shot attempts in this game. Only one of them hit the net. 3 of them were blocked, and the other missed the net. But it was Sam Rinzel and Oliver Moore getting all the attention in this game for the Blackhawks, making their NHL debut. Let's hear what Sam Rinzel had to say after this 5-2 loss to Utah and making his NHL debut here at the United Center.
How did you feel?
Yeah, felt good. Honorable. It was so fun. Guys were great. Like Ollie said, you know, as a hockey player, you want to win. So, you know, that stings. But overall, it was an unbelievable first game.
You had a couple chances there. You wish that one had gone in.
Yeah. Learned a lot of things today. Scoring is hard. That was one of them. Yeah. So.
What was that, a sort of come to NHL moment that hit in the Maroon fighting? What was that all?
Yeah. You know, he gave me a little jab on the board. So, you know, kind of when I saw a guy on me and trying to handle the puck behind the net, I saw him coming, and I tried to turn and kind of give him a little reverse hit back, but that obviously didn't go too well. But I thought I learned a lot, and I was all in the mix today for whatever it was, so I was happy.
I got to ask, Ali, what was it like for you two both being here at the same time, being able to do this together?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Having to do it with a buddy, it means the world. It brings a level of comfortability to you that adds your confidence, I think, for sure.
With the development camp being off the ice the last few years, a lot of the young guys in this room, you've spent time with them over the summer and on text threads and things like that. Is it nice to come into a room in the NHL and have some of that built-in camaraderie, guys you played against or spent time with?
Yeah, it helps for sure. Again, helps the confidence, I'd say, just kind of with the comfortability. But, it's great, so it helps for sure.
What kind of numbers did you have for friends and family?
Probably the same amount. I had 7 family members and then all of you guys that came out, so they were at the glass when I was pounding, so it was fun to see.
That was cool to see. I did, I think the CHSN Twitter account had posted a picture of, I think it was 4 or 5 of his, the Minnesota teammates of Oliver and Sam's were in attendance in this game, which was very cool because their season had ended late on Thursday night. I think they flew back to school either that night or later the next day. And so for them to make the trip out here to Chicago and support Renzel and Moore, I think was a really nice touch, along with the family and friends that were in attendance for both of them. Again, Sam Renzel, looking at his numbers here, he finished with 20 minutes and 15 seconds of ice time, which ranked 3rd among all Blackhawks skaters. Levshinov was first among defensemen with 20 minutes and 52 seconds. Connor Bedard led the way for Chicago as a whole with 20 minutes and 59 seconds. And so Renzel finishes with 7 shot attempts, 4 of them hit the net. He had 2 hits, also had a giveaway in there, but a lot of the Blackhawks were docked with giveaways in this game. And if you look at some of the numbers, the even strength numbers, the Blackhawks led in shot attempts 19 to 18 and in shots on goal 11 to 8 when Sam Renzel was on the ice. The shot attempts, he was one of 4 players that finished with above a 50% shot attempt differential when he was on the ice. Another person, the other one of the four was Oliver Moore. The Hawks outshot the Utah Hockey Club 9-4 when he was on the ice at even strength. Let's hear what Oliver had to say before or after his NHL debut against the Utah Hockey Club.
So how'd you feel out there?
Yeah, it was obviously really fun experience. Definitely something I'll never forget. Just right from the national anthem and on, and something I'll never forget. And it was a great night, but obviously wish we would have gotten the win. So for sure.
What's the is there a fine line between you're trying to enjoy the moment and not getting too caught up in it and everything and just playing your game?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's at the end of the day, I just want to play hockey. That's what I'm here to do. And I think just trying to play your game, trying to help the team win in any way you can out there. And obviously that would have made it more memorable if we could have won. So
how do you think you did? What you learned from playing at this level?
I felt good. I think that Fliggy and Leno did a really good job of helping me, just talking to me. It's a different game than college for sure. It's a lot bigger. I felt pretty good, but no, it can be better for sure.
If there were 3rd assists, you would have had one. What did you see on that play?
Yeah, I think that D was coming down pretty hard and just saw Fliggy and Joe trying to spring for a 2-on-1, and they did the rest, so it was a great play by them.
Could you tell that just your speed and pace, you can play at this level and keep up?
Yeah, for sure. I think I'm still comfortable with my skating out there, and I think as I continue to get more games, the game will continue to slow down, and things will just keep building on themselves. So.
How many friends and family did you have here today?
I think around probably like 15, 20. So really good turnout, and obviously super grateful for them to be here. They mean the world to me, and I'm excited to go see them.
Did you get any advice on the rookie lap before you went out there?
Not really, no, just to enjoy it. I mean, Renzi and I almost muffled the puck, almost missed the net when right on the ice there, but it was a lot of fun.
What does it mean to have you both together coming here at the same time?
Yeah, it means the world. I mean, I think, we're living in the same hotel, same apartment right now, and, just having a guy to go through it with, share the experience with, talk to, it means the world, and Sam's the perfect guy to do that with, so.
Did you have a Minnesota teammates here? And
yeah.
How many?
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't get a head count, but I think about probably like 6 to 8 came out. So, yeah, those guys mean the world to us, and flipped them a puck tomorrow. It was pretty funny, and I think they had a good time. So.
Oh, wow. 6 to 8 of them came out. I think I only saw 4 or 5 in the picture. But, man, that really nice turnout by the Minnesota teammates to support Sam and Oliver. I thought Moore was more noticeable in the first period. I think the second and thirds, he was a little bit quieter. But you could definitely see the speed on display. He was labeled as perhaps the fastest skater in the entire 2023 NHL draft class. And that is exactly the kind of trait that Chicago has been targeting moving forward as far as building their next great Chicago Blackhawks team. You've seen it with Frank Nazar. You see it on the back end with Levshinov and Renzel and Korchinski. They have really prioritized wanting to get elite skaters. And, even similar to, Landon Slaggart, I would put in that category. Ilya Mikheyev, how many breakaways has he had this season for the Blackhawks? So that is certainly a trait that has been appealing to Chicago. With Oliver Moore, I was mentioning this in the pregame show. He's a guy that can play center or wing. He played a little bit of both at college this season. A majority of his games in college at Minnesota, he was at the center position. And the one area of improvement in his game this season was at the faceoff circle. He took 674 draws at Minnesota this year, won 59.7% of them. He got really good down the stretch over the last 10 games or so. I think he was like flirting with 60%, but against the UMass game, in the UMass game specifically on Thursday night, which was the overtime loss, he took 29 draws, which led the Minnesota Golden Gophers. And he won 21 of them for a win percentage of 72.4%. So this is a guy that the Hawks have kind of been hoarding a lot of players in the draft class that could play wing or center. It's going to be interesting to see which ones get pushed to the wing and which ones are actually going to be the true centers. We know Frank Nazar can play both. He's played on the wing. He's played at center. He's back at center right now. And then same with Oliver Moore. He was on a line with Joe Valeno and Nick Foligno in this game playing on the left wing, but wouldn't be surprised if he got a taste at the center position, whether it's in minors next season or if it's at some point later this year, if they kind of give him a taste. So exciting to see Moore and Renzel, and I'm sure in the final 8 games we'll get a larger sample size of them. And credit to the games that they had, given how the last 72 hours have transpired in their lives, with the real heartbreaking overtime loss on Thursday night, very late. The game got pushed back by an hour and a half because the game before them went into double overtime. And so they kind of had to process the loss of Thursday night, expecting to maybe make a Frozen Four run. And they were out in the opening round, and then quickly had to shift their minds to whether they were going to sign their entry-level contracts. Didn't seem like there was ever a doubt that they would, but it was kind of a matter of when. And they decided to rip the Band-Aid off, sign on Saturday morning. They flew to Chicago late on Friday night, ended up signing their ELCs on Saturday morning, and then they were able to participate in the game on Sunday here against the Utah Hockey Club. So fun to see them, kind of a glimpse of the future as Chicago continues to inject some youth into this roster after it started the year with a very veteran type roster. So nice to see some of the young guys are going to play big roles on the next great Blackhawks team start to get integrated into the fold here as the season winds down. The Hawks lose to the Utah Hockey Club 5-2 here at the United Center. On the other side, we'll hear from Blackhawks interim head coach Anders Sorensen coming up next right here on 720 WGN. Back here on the Blackhawks postgame show, here at the United Center, where the fans have filed out after a 5-2 loss to the Utah Hockey Club. It was their third consecutive defeat for Chicago. Unfortunately, not the way they want their homestand to go as the season gets ready to wind down. Can't believe we got 8 games left of the season. And the next game that the Hawks play in, the calendar is going to be in April. So that is we're in the final stretch here for the Blackhawks. Let's get to Anders Sorensen and hear what he had to say about this 5-2 loss to the Utah Hockey Club and the NHL debuts of Sam Renzel and Oliver Moore.
First of all, got to ask about the new guys here. What'd you think about Moore and Renzel today?
Yeah, lots to like. I thought Renzel, really attack mindset, I think he could have had. I think he had four grade A chances offensively, right? Getting a lot of good things. Oliver, too. Under pressure, made a lot of plays. They were good. Liked their game.
Is that kind of the benefit maybe of college, is that, you know, there isn't that jump from juniors to, you know, that they're maybe a little more comfortable on this stage? Or
I think you're used to playing against men, right? College isn't, you know, it seems to be older and older here, so I think they're used to it. But you can really see their instincts, right? Like, obviously the pace, but just some of the things they do, really nice attributes as players.
About the team game overall?
I thought we created enough. I thought we gave up too much.
For Korchinski in that third goal, I think he was trying to box out Kerfoot and just wasn't able to. Is that a kind of an example of where he just needs to keep getting stronger?
Yeah, positioning too. You know, I think that whole shift. I don't think we were any five guys that were on the ice weren't great that shift. So it doesn't. That's kind of the end result of it. But there was a lot of opportunities before that to do as a group of five to be better.
What have you thought of him these first two games back up?
I mean, there's been some good things, and there's some things that we got to improve on, right? And, you know, I think he's had a really, overall, a good year of development, and then coming up here now. And, you know, it's not an easy environment. Obviously, we're not doing as well as a team as we'd like to. And then you come in as a young player, and it's tough, right? But I think he's been handling, like I said, some really good things and some things to improve on.
What have you thought of the power play, their first unit especially? It seems like it's just entries are just maybe just getting lost somewhere in the neutral zone.
Yeah, we didn't have – there was no urgency today. No urgency on our entries or breakouts. And once we get in the zone, very, very lack of urgency there. That kind of – you know, that's the situation 0-0, right? I think we had three power plays there. So you got to have a little bit more of a instinct to want to score a goal there right away and not wait. Could have really set the tone for the game there.
Lushanov obviously had the assist, but, you know, do you have any fault for him with those two late goals with Yamamoto and Cooley?
I mean, the one is a misplay, goes under a stick. You know, I think Vlas is trying to make the right play. It didn't work out. And then the other one, I think he was fine. He was in a good spot. It wasn't really on Artie. I think we had some turnovers just inside or in our own zone there. And then we kind of over pursued something else. And then, yeah. So, yeah, I thought he handled it well.
Nazar seems to have a breakaway most games. Is it unlucky? Is there something that he has to learn about finishing at this level?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that he positive, yes, getting breakaways. I think just learning at this level. Goals are good, and you got to maybe, like you saw Joey's breakaway, right? A couple of moves or whatnot. But, I think he'll get better at it soon.
Mm-hmm. How tough is it when you've got a young roster and, you know, with Levchinov coming off and then Korchinski coming up, and now you're adding a couple new guys? It isn't just changing the lines with the guys that you have, but you're bringing completely new bodies, some more known commodities than others, into the mix. But how hard is that to find enough time to develop chemistry and have some of those little plays disappear because they're a little more comfortable with each other?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's part of the game, right? This time of the year, too, especially where we are, right? But I think, you know, the thing that you notice is we make some plays and there's some good attributes. It's when things don't go our way, if it was a turnover or something, the response to that, I think we're a little bit off right now. And if that's because of chemistry or I'm not sure, but I think it's, you know, you see some of these other teams have the same line, but where we are. And we got to kind of accept that challenge and embrace it and be like, hey, let's get better here, you know? And there's been times in the last couple of games where you see we're doing some really good things. And then when it kind of, we have a little hiccup, we have a hard time stopping it after that, right? But, I think a lot of the young guys are doing a lot of good things.
Speaking of those young guys, obviously a lot of them are still raw in some ways, but did you see some glimpses of, like, the skating and the skills that you have in the future?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think a good example today is if you watch Rinzel, for example, right? His mentality of attack and his, you know, off the blue line or skate, you know, just advancing pucks with his feet, right? Those are attributes that at this level is you know, really positive, and you can see that for a first game, that was pretty impressive to watch, right? So just keep building off of that. But those attributes, yeah, both of them that came in today have them for sure.
All right, that was Blackhawks interim head coach Anders Sorensen. Sam Renzel, speaking about him, the attack mindset, you definitely saw that in his game earlier today. I think he did not seem timid whatsoever. I think when we talked to him yesterday after practice, confidence and assertiveness was the mentality that he wanted going into this game, and we sure saw that. The Hawks power play did really struggle, especially the first unit. You heard Sorensen say, no urgency on our breakouts, and that's exactly what it looked like to me. The Hawks kind of seemed a little disoriented, even when they kind of started their traditional breakouts where they would drop the puck back, and then when that would fail, they would try to push up the ice quickly, and everyone just kind of looked discombobulated, and no one was going into the zone with some momentum. So I imagine that's going to be an area that Chicago tries to sort out on a Tuesday at practice. They're going to be an off day on Monday, so they'll be able to kind of catch their breath after a long last couple weeks. We know it's kind of been game, practice, game, basically a game every other day, seemingly, here in the final stretch, and so no surprise. And lastly, Alex Vlasic, suffered like a really scary injury. He tumbled really hard into the boards. It looked like Alex Kerfoot kind of took a chop at his left leg, and it as Vlasic was going into the corner, it was in the second period, it looked like his left leg, I don't know if it was his right or his left leg that got injured, but the left leg took the slash, and then on the right knee kind of buckled in a weird way. He stayed down on the ice for a little bit, then ended up skating off pretty gingerly, goes inside the locker room, but fortunately for Chicago, he returns later in the period. Maybe, I think he missed like one shift, and he was already back on the bench and ended up finishing the game. I'm not sure how sore he's going to be tomorrow, but it was good to see him return, because that originally looked like it could be a potentially scary injury. So nice to see that he was able to shake that off. Last thing, I wanted to... I want to go to my Twitter. I had someone say Oliver Moore has Connor McDavid like skating, and that's some lofty praise, but I don't disagree with it. When I was watching Oliver Moore skate in this game, his strides are very McDavid like. Again, don't want to compare the two because they're clearly in a different category. McDavid's in a class all by himself, but when it comes to their strides and how they gain power while they skate, Oliver Moore has those like quick little strides. They're not like long strides like what you see Frank Nazar. He takes those really long strides, and that's how he generates his power. But with Moore, he has those quick feet, and I don't know how that happens, but like even watching Connor McDavid skate like that, it just doesn't make sense to me how he can go that fast while the way his strides are. It doesn't really make much sense to me when I watch it, but I definitely see some of the similarities in their strides, the two of them, and even their, like, Oliver Moore's top speed, I bet you could get close to Connor McDavid's. Maybe not with the puck, because McDavid with the puck seemingly gets faster, but if they just kind of had like a race off, I feel like Oliver Moore would be able to hold his own, because he is that elite and fast of a skater for the Blackhawks, and that is hopefully going to be on full display for many years to come for the Blackhawks. We got one more break to get to, and then we'll wrap up the Blackhawks postgame show after this and preview the next opponent, which is going to be on Wednesday. That'll coming up next on 720 WGN.
Now it's Lehkonen for Nathan MacKinnon. Draws four defenders, leaves it for Lehkonen, all the way over for Cale Makar, reels it in. Makar at the dot, centers it for Lehkonen, blocked. Makar again, Taves, holding, shooting, it's blocked in front, rebound is loose, MacKinnon, he scores! The Mac Attack is back, Jack! Nathan MacKinnon gets his 30th goal of the season. Points in 24 straight home games. The streak, it's alive!
That is Altitude Sports Radio 92.5 FM's Connor McGahee, as Nathan MacKinnon keeps his 24-game point streak at home alive. And that leads us to our next game preview, which is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. The Hawks will be taking on the Colorado Avalanche on Wednesday here at the United Center. An 8:30 puck drop, because it's the second game of the TNT doubleheader. And boy, is Colorado red hot right now. They are 12-2-1 over their last 15 games. In the last meeting between these two teams a couple weeks ago, the Hawks actually played them pretty well. It was a 3-1 loss, but they held the Avalanche to just 21 shots on goal. If you can remember, that was Artem Levchinov's NHL debut. And so I think the Hawks have really played Colorado well this season. I think they have two wins against the Avalanche this year. We'll see if they can complete the series on Wednesday here on a positive note. Just looking at Colorado, right now they're 7 points back of Dallas for the second seed in the Central Division. Inevitably, it seems like those two teams are going to clash in the first round. And man, that right now, if you kind of just reseed the Western Conference based on the standings points, it would be the 2 versus the 4 right now in the first round. The NHL does not sound like they have any desire to change the current playoff format, but man, I really do miss the 1 versus 8. I don't think the league is going to go back to that anytime soon, but one of Colorado or Dallas is going to be eliminated in the first round, and it's going to be sad to see, because both of them deserve to be on deep runs. So we'll see Colorado here on Wednesday at the United Center. Blackhawks hockey is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers, Circa Sports Illinois, United Airlines, and Citgo. When you start with Citgo, you're good to go. That's going to do it for the broadcast today. Big thanks to our on-site reporter of Jack Heinrich and our production crew of Patrick Hennessy and Tony DeNardis. They were led by our engineers, the Hall of Famer Paul Zerang here at the United Center, and our captain back at the station, Krista Flores. For John Weideman and Troy Murray, who brought you the call, I'm Charlie Romeliotis, signing off after a 4-2 Blackhawks loss to the Utah Hockey Club. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you on Wednesday night from the UC.